Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're taking a look at cooking wild game on the show today. Joel Olson, Chef Joel, will be with us throughout the show today to talk about that and certainly to answer your questions as well. Of course, we're in our year-end member drive. And as we're in the drive, I want you to think about how much you've learned from and enjoyed WPR programs in 2022. Here we got 2023 right around the corner. So take some action and give the programs you rely on a strong start in the new year at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And I'm joined today by Jennifer Dargan, who was one of my former bosses. I've had many former bosses over the years. Now she is Deputy Director of the Wisconsin Educational Communications Board. Jennifer, always good to see you. How are we doing today?
Thanks, Larry. Last hour, we heard from 17 new and returning members. We want to say thank you so much for those gifts. And right now, moving on, we have a dollar-for-dollar match during this show, up to $3,500. It's a generous match from current members, including Jean from Madison, who loves WPR, and it means they're going to match every dollar you give.
And, of course, it's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio, so you can double your support for the programs you love. Just give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And what an amazing community we have built up here over the years at Wisconsin Public Radio. When you donate to WPR, you'll join more than 50,000 other members. And pooled together, your support makes up the largest source of funding for WPR programs.
In fact, you make all the WPR programs that you enjoy possible when you give your gift. Right now, choose an amount at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You might be wondering, is it my time to give to WPR? Well, I'll give you this one tip. You're listening right now during our year-end member drive, and whether you've tuned in for this is maybe your favorite program or you check in throughout the day or the week, you've probably made a habit of listening.
And so this would be a good time to make a habit of giving. Listener support, it's the largest source of funding for our shows. And when you give, you make the programs and services that you come to rely on possible. And it's easy. I do it every drive. I can't talk myself into it. Easy to donate. You can get started right now with your gift of $10 or $20 a month, perhaps, whatever amount you choose, at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
What are your year-end traditions?
Kind of doing a whirlwind through my house and ridding myself of possessions.
My family all goes hunting up north and come back in time for the Thanksgiving meal at my aunt's farm.
We always have a party where we make lots of food.
Start a new tradition this year. Support the information and inspiration you rely on from Wisconsin Public Radio. Give now and every year. Here's how.
Just go to WPR.org or you can phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation during this year-end member drive. Larry Mueller here with Jennifer Dargan. And the programs you enjoy are possible thanks to your support and your contribution of $10 a month, maybe $100 a month, whatever amount you choose makes a difference for our entire community.
And we've worked really hard to make this an easy process. We know you're busy. It just takes your name, your contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay.
Yeah, and it does just take a couple of minutes to make your contribution to WPR. And those few minutes fund your daily listening. Your support right now makes a big difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Our dollar-for-dollar match is still in effect this hour, and we have $3,400 left to raise. So be part of that exciting challenge. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR will go twice as far.
And as an added bonus for supporting the programs you love, your donation before 3 p.m. today enters you to win two prizes. You could win $500 to spend at a sporting goods store, and you could win a portable smart speaker. So enter with your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And sustainers, those of you making those ongoing monthly gifts, you are automatically entered.
I'm always bummed, Larry. We're not eligible for those.
No, we're
They're
not.
Good, though. If you're not a sustaining member, think about becoming one right now, and you'll get in on both of those drawings. It's easy to set up. You'll make ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card, whatever works for you. You can do it all at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to provide reliable support for all the programs you love.
You know, here's Jamie in Milwaukee. Jamie says, I especially love Larry Mueller and Central Time.
Same.
Well, thank you, Jamie. She said, I learn something new every single day and don't know what I'd do without WPR. So thank you for being there for us.
Thank you. Your gift is so important. Pledge right now. Make a donation right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much.
Jennifer, come back and see us again soon. Okay. We're turning our attention to cooking with wild game. It's something that I've loved to do for a long time. And, you know, maybe you've tried venison, but have you ever tried squirrel or a bear sandwich or have it on a pizza? Today, our guest has done just that and a whole lot more. Joel Olson, Chef Joel. Our guest today, nationally recognized culinary instructor for people of all ages with 20 years of teaching experience. We'll talk to him about how to use game and fish in your menu. And we want to hear from you. What would you like to know about cooking with wild game or with fish? What's your favorite way to prepare game? Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, or you could send an email to ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. Love to hear from you. Chef Joel, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
How did you get involved in chef work?
It's a fun story because I fought going to culinary school or becoming a chef for decades. I didn't want to ruin my hobby. And then I was slicing meat at a wedding at Nate's Supper Club in Viroqua years and years ago. And I remember whose wedding it was, whose daughter it was, what time of day it was. And the light bulb went off that it was a passion and not a hobby. And I decided to go to culinary school that afternoon.
And you've been an instructor for all these years.
Yeah, I come from a family of teachers, and I have a degree in sociology. And I thought about going back to school to become a teacher, and I thought, no, I don't want to teach. And then all of a sudden, I went to culinary school, and within 2 weeks of culinary school, I realized I wanted to teach cooking. So I was taking notes on not only what they were teaching, but how they were teaching it.
And how did you start start trying out wild game, or is that something that's just been part of the family forever?
It hasn't been so much part of the family, but I started when I came back after my summer times are always busy with kids camps and kids culinary camps. And I came back and had decided to do a wild game feed for my family and friends the second year after back in the late 90s. Let's just leave it at that. So anyway, then been doing it every year since, except for, well, 1 year I did it with the pandemic, but it was only with 4 other friends. And we were all spaced out outside and it was cold.
And you work a lot with kids.
I do. I love working with kids. A lot of kids classes and camps, and it's really rewarding.
Yeah. Are they difficult to work with?
Not at all. I always joke the only difference between teaching kids and adults is that adults are taller.
Well, what kinds of factors, I guess you could call them, that contribute to quality when it comes to wild meat and with fish?
Well, what I like to do, there's commonly people say that it's so gamey, it's too wild tasting, it's too strong. And so I try to counter some of that when I'm working, especially with venison and elk and things like that. And this year for the game feed, I had a lot of wild Canada goose. Actually, it would be wild, but Canada goose breast that I turned into some amazing meat that the guys could not believe that donated it for the cause. They couldn't believe that it was actually Canada goose because it tasted like steak.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah, I've done some wild game dinners myself over the years, but not for a while. But I always included Canada goose.
Yep.
And it's You do anything special with preparing it?
Well, I did something kind of extreme this year. I know in years past I've talked about brining.
Yeah.
And I use that same brine recipe that I have, which is 2 quarts of water, which a third cup of, and a third cup of table salt and a third cup of granulated sugar. So, and I brined it for 2 weeks. I let it sit there for two weeks. Yep. Put it down in the refrigerator. And I took it out. It sounds gross, but it was slimy. I mean, it was slick. That's more slick. I washed it off, and it felt like a piece of beef, and it cooked up just like beef. It was amazing how it tenderized it and totally transformed it. It still had a wonderful flavor, but the texture was just sublime.
I would always take goose and put it in salted water, cold water, and then I'd slowly heat it up just to the point of boiling, and then I'd take it out.
Yep.
And there was always a kind of a scuzzy foam on the top, and I thought, well, that's not going into the goose.
That's good. That's a good thing to get rid of that. Same thing when you're making even chicken stock or beef stock, you get rid of that, all those impurities that come from the flesh and the bones. It's always makes, those can be oftentimes bitter.
So you had, in your wild game, I'm looking at the menu for that dinner, and I can't even, there are too many to count here almost. Oh, my goodness. How many did you have? 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 20, 22. My wild game dinners, usually I'd have about 15 to 18 different things.
Sure.
Where do you get it all?
Friends. A lot of people donate, which is wonderful. I like to hunt, but I don't have time to. And so a lot of it wasn't mine. I did have some fish that I did catch up north this last summer that I contributed. But I'm lucky enough to have people that like to come to the game feed and like to donate game. So it's I'm lucky. I'm lucky to have some wonderful friends.
Clara, who's our producer for today, was wondering about cutting up and prepping and all that. Maybe we should cover a little. You know, the deer season just over. I know one thing that I do. I didn't get a deer this year.
I didn't either.
But one thing that I do when I first have the animal downed and gutted, I always have a plastic bag and I cut the tenderloins out.
Do you really?
I cut them out of the deer and I put them in that bag. And because, in my mind, if you let the deer hang, those tenderloins, which are, to me, the best part of the whole deer,
right,
will dry out.
There's a story, but this was the last year of the long neck buck, and that was a deer that I hung for 5 months. And as it hung, the neck dragged, pulled down a little bit, so we started calling it the long neck buck. So when I'd left the tenderloins and everything in it, so it was basically like aging it. So it did dry a little bit, but oh my gosh, it was succulent. Those tenderloins were amazing. So I don't know if that makes that much of a difference, but I haven't had that issue in terms of drying out the tenderloins.
So now you hung one for...
I did in our backyard.
So it sat there in the cold?
Yep. And I went out every day to make sure nothing got at it, and there was no, you know, animals that were getting at it, no molding. No, it was finally started to warm up, and it just started to thaw the deer itself. Then I peeled it and then cut it up, and I had it quite a few years now. And this was the last of the long neck buck at this game feed. So, but it was frozen for years, wrapped up really tightly in a deep freeze, and pristine as ever, and just wonderful. Gosh, it was good.
Oh. What happens when you let something sit like that? What's the purpose?
Aging it, just like just letting some of the moisture leave the meat, so it kind of concentrates the flavors. And it was really, really beautiful. The favorite part was the neck. When I did the neck a few years ago, that was just the meat was so just falling off the bone, of course, because I braised it, and so delicious.
It was always my dad's favorite part.
Yeah. Well, the more muscle is used, the more tender, I mean, the more flavor it has. And deer, you know, especially deer, how they are always looking and moving their neck. And so it's going to have a lot of flavor because those muscles are always being used.
Yeah. And that was one thing, was always a special meal at family time. Was
sure.
We had some of the neck. Oh, Chef Joel Olson, our guest today, as we talk with him about cooking wild game. And I hope you'll call in with your own experiences or questions. We'd love to hear from you. But I always love to hear from Jennifer Dargan, who's back with us for a couple of minutes, as we talk about our year-end member drive. Hope you'll join in and support the programs you rely on all year. With your gift, how do you do it? You go to WPR.org or you phone 888-202-2552. And Jennifer, we have a match.
We do. We still have that dollar-for-dollar match going on from current members, including Jean from Madison, who said, I love WPR. So if you are like her, you can turn your gift of $50 into $100. You can turn your gift of $100 into $200 and so on. Take advantage of this match right now. Such a great time to do it. And double your support for Wisconsin Public Radio programs when you give. WPR.org is a place to do it, or you can call us at 888-202-2552.
You know, this is a season of giving, and I hope you'll celebrate it with us. It's kind of a special time between Thanksgiving and the New Year. And here's a gift that doesn't involve wrapping paper or guessing at the right size.
I like that. And just takes a few minutes of your time. You can make a gift for the programs you enjoy hearing every day of the year. It's going to feel great. I guarantee it. You can find out now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And a great way to become a part of Wisconsin Public Radio is to become a sustainer. You decide on a monthly amount to be charged to your bank account or maybe to your credit card. And you set it up to be ongoing.
Yep. It's a great way to donate because it provides reliable funding for the programs that you listen to all the time. And you can make an easy-to-pay monthly gift. And those donations really add up to have a big impact for WPR. So just choose an amount, say $10 or $20 a month, and you can become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
At Wisconsin Public Radio, we ask you to decide how much to give. And no matter what you choose, you get 24 hours a day of news, talk, music, and entertainment in return. That's a great deal. Where do you wish you could get that deal?
I'd love to go to the record store and name my price for a lot of the albums I see.
If I could pick and choose for shoes, that would be fantastic.
Netflix, streaming options, music, and a weekend cocktail, too.
During this pledge drive, we ask you to contribute as generously as you can. And, unlike with other things, you'll always be the one to decide how much to give.
And to do that giving, you go to WPR.org or you phone 888-202-2552. Make that contribution during our year-end member drive. Larry Mueller here with Jennifer Dargan. Listener support, we keep saying it, it's the biggest source of funding for our shows, the ones you rely on. And that's why your gift of $10 a month or $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, it really has an important impact.
Yes, it does. And it can have an even bigger impact right now because we have this dollar-for-dollar match going on. It's really exciting. A lot of people have taken advantage of it so far, but there's still $2,600 left for you to join in. It's a great time to donate. Current members, including Gene from Madison, pitched in and said, I'm going to double every gift up to that amount. And it's her way of inspiring you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. So double the impact of your gift right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You might spend, 20 bucks going out for drinks or dinner, or maybe even every single weekend. In the greater scheme of things, 20 bucks isn't a big expense, especially if it's just once a month.
And that's why we ask you to give $20 a month for your WPR listing. On its own, $20 might not feel like much, but when you give monthly, it really adds up for the programs that keep you informed and inspired every day. So make your gift right now, $20 a month, or you choose the amount that works for you and your budget. Do it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And our dollar-for-dollar match, of course, it's still in effect. More than $2,000 left. So you could contribute $2,000 and just wipe it out in one spot. But you don't have to do that.
That's an option.
It's an option, but you don't have to do that. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount. And the main thing is that you give right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I think the programs you hear on WPR are reason enough to make a donation. But if that doesn't convince you and the doubling your donation hasn't convinced you, you can also get entered in two drawings before 3 p.m. One of them is for $500 to spend at a sporting goods store. Think of the holiday gifts you might want to get there. And you could also win a portable smart speaker. So sustainers, those of you making your ongoing monthly gifts, you are already entered. If you're not a sustainer yet, you can sign up now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Those ongoing monthly gifts from sustainers is really great. If you're not one, I join Jennifer in saying, do it right now. Maybe today is the day, if you're already a sustainer, maybe today is the day that you increase your support of WPR, maybe $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Larry, I know we're short on time, but if I could squeeze in two comments from donors who are fans. Joseph in New Auburn says, I especially enjoy Larry Mueller. And Pat in New Lisbon says, I enjoy Larry Mueller's informative and often humorous information about bugs, birds, plants, and other life in Wisconsin. Well, thank you, Joseph and Pat.
Thank you so much, Joseph and Pat. Your gift right now is so important. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and thank you. We're taking a look at preparing wild game, and maybe you could call fish wild game too. I certainly do. Fish, venison, pheasant, elk, bear, whatever. Now's a good time to call in if you have a question about it or maybe an experience to share with our guest, Chef Joel Olson. Joel's been doing this for a long time, and he comes up with some dandy ways to prepare wild game. You can join in. Number to call is 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or you could email us the email address ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. Are there any parts of the of a deer that you don't use? I mean, aside from perhaps the innards.
Right. Not really. I tend to use most of it. Yeah. I used to make a stock to a broth, a wild game broth that I would just throw the squirrel carcass and stuff in and use that as kind of the master base of all the different sauces that I've done. I haven't done it for a few years, but even the shank that is tiny, I mean, not just a shank, but the lower leg.
Yeah.
It's just full of sinew and stuff. I still braise that.
And do pulled
venison with that, because just cook the heck out of it. You know, cut the bone, because I have a bone saw, and just cut it so it fits into a pot. And then and then braise that, and it's wonderful meat for chopping up and using for chopped recipes.
Claire, I wondered if you did anything with the tongue.
They're small, but I have. I did venison tongue one time along with, because I also had some beef tongue, so I combined the two of them. But they're not as big as the
beef tongue.
Correct.
For sure. So you pretty much use almost anything or any parts of the animal. And are there common mistakes that people make when it comes to preparing their wild game?
I think the number one thing would be just to mistakes. Overcooking it. It sounds kind of like an oversimplification, but the tender pieces of meat get overcooked, and that's when, like, the tenderloin can get overcooked, and it tastes like just any other part of the venison. Even some of the leg, the roasts that I cut out of the hind quarter and stuff are beautiful. They can actually look like tenderloin. I've actually frozen them and looked at it later. I said, is it tenderloin? I realized, no, it's part of the leg, and because I've trimmed it up really nicely. So those can still be tender as well, even at that, even if they're leg muscles. So I think it's overcooking would be the number one thing. But then again, you have things that you cook the heck out of because you need to make them tender.
Yeah. What about the fat?
There is no fat. Venison, I mean, in terms, there is fat on venison, but it's not part of the meat. It's really has an unpleasant, I think, texture and flavor, and it adds nothing to a dish by adding venison fat, where pork fat is like its own food group. You know, venison fat is like, no, get rid of it.
Yeah, we would always trim. My dad was a meat cutter.
Oh, wow.
So he was really good with a knife.
I bet.
And there would be no external fat.
Yep. Yeah.
And then sometimes he'd take some beef tallow and roll the roasts.
Sure. Sure. You need some, I mean, it's because it's just pure, it's pure protein. There's no fat whatsoever. So I do a lot of pork fat when I'm making, I combine it with pork and pork fat when I'm doing, or ground pork. When I did the elk bolognese sauce, I added a bit of ground pork just to give it a little bit of mouthfeel, a little texture, and some more flavor as well. So
yeah, it adds flavor. There's no doubt about it. And we'll give a chance for you to join in right now. You can reach us at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us to ideas@wpr.org. Do you prepare butcher, I guess I should say, or cut up everything yourself, or do you send it off to the processor?
I've never used a processor. I've always done everything myself. Yep.
We always have two.
You talk about your dad being a virtuoso. I'm not. Like, when you do it once a year or once every couple of years, whenever I happen to get a deer, it's like starting over. I know what to do, but I take my time, and it takes me quite a while, but I'm always happy with the end result.
Yeah, absolutely. Jerry in Amherst, we'll go to you. Hi, Jerry. Thanks for calling.
Hi, good morning. Hey, for the last couple of years, I have been making corn to beef or corn to venison out of especially the backstrap roasts, and it is super simple to make. And boy, I brought some of those to deer camp this year, and they never even made it into a sandwich. They got sliced up like sausage and vaporized off the cutting board.
So how do you do it, Jerry? Or what are you typically, the basic ingredients?
Yeah, it's about a week-long, five-day-long brine in a product called Morton Tender Quick, which I think is just a curing salt, and then some pickling spices and I use a lot of black pepper. I don't have the recipe memorized, but you leave it brine, cold brine for about 5 days, and then you literally just take it out of there, rinse it off, and simmer it, bring it to a boil, and simmer it for 3 hours, and then just let it cool and slice it like it's sandwich meat, and it is just phenomenal. It tastes exactly like corned beef, only without all the fat.
Yeah. Wow. Well, Chef Joel, what do you think?
It's wonderful. It's a great idea. I was going to do some of that this year as well. And I have done it in the past with goose breast, corned goose breast, which, again, tastes a lot like it's got all the flavors and stuff like that. So it's a great thing. And it's fun to hear that they didn't even make it to a sandwich. So it is that good.
Oh, man. Jerry, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. I think we should mention safety considerations on this. We've got, there could be some foodborne illnesses associated with wild game cooking. With venison, with deer, it's chronic wasting.
Right.
What's important for home chefs to know?
That's a great question. In terms of CWD, there's better sources than me for that. I just, when I'm dressing a deer out in the wild, I always wear gloves and things like that. And it's recommended that you cook venison and cook wild game 265 degrees. I don't always do that. I trust my instincts and also the food that where I've gotten it from. When I'm doing like carpaccio, which is basically an uncooked venison that I'll do, or I might sear it a little bit, where I'm serving things medium rare or somewhat rare. But I tend to, if you're ever concerned about anything like that, just cook the heck out of it, or just follow recipes that take you to the point where it's going to be cooked for up to 165 degrees, and which gets rid of most foodborne illness.
Yeah, it does indeed. And in terms of chronic wasting, I think the DNR is still saying get your deer tested.
Right, right. They're recommending everybody do that.
And if it tests positive, most people are not consuming that meat.
Right. It's really sad, but
it's really sad that we have this this issue to kind of worry about. Let's go to the Game Feed 2022 menu. We were talking about it earlier. Describe that whole experience.
It's my epic event of the year. It's kind of like my culinary Super Bowl, where I try to, it sounds conceited, but I try to impress myself. I want to do things and push myself to make this, you know, and some friends are lucky enough, or quite a few people are lucky enough to be part of it, and I'm honored to have the people that I do invite that show up. So I started differently this year than else. I started with all the raw materials that I had, including food in the pantry. Like I had some wonderful red pepper sauce and different, you know, pickled green peppercorns, and I tried to make a list of that, and then I matched my pantry to the meat that I had on hand, as opposed to the meat, and then try to figure out what to do with the meat. So I did it kind of backwards or from a different angle, because it kind of made me use up stuff that I've had that you have, and you save and you save and you save. And it's like, well, heck, why don't I use this? You know, so I had a lot of options. And so it was really kind of fun for me to come at it that direction.
You know, when I've done of wild game dinners like that, or when I've had, you know, I had 100 people at my house for a wild game dinner, when you're cooking 18 or 20 different things, I would actually write down a whole time schedule.
Sure.
For everything for the whole day.
Sure. I don't do time schedules, but I do have a running list in my head, and I do write a lot of stuff down. And I have some really wonderful friends. I have a good friend, David, who's sous chefs, comes in at the last minute, and he's was a professional chef and still does chefing, but he understands and we communicate really well. So he helps me kind of get everything out at the last minute. And with all the dishes that were on there, I know I've forgotten some of those things on the menu, because when we had all the name cards and out on the tables, and when we're serving the food, and I was carrying platters of food out, and the friends that were helping me, like, there's not a card for that. So I made like three or four other things that never even made it on the list, that I just, oh, just whipped this up and threw it on a platter and took it out there. So it's just really fun for me.
Oh, man. Chef Joel Olson, our guest. You can join in again. The number to call, 800-642-1234. Email to ideas@wpr.org. Jennifer Dargan dropping back in with us for 1 or 2 minutes to talk about the year-end member drive. Your support is, of course, it's our largest source of funding. No kidding. And I hope you'll take a few minutes right now to support the programs you count on with your year-end gift. Just go to WPR.org, or at 888-202-2552 is our dollar-for-dollar match. I'm sure it's still in effect.
It's still in effect. We'd really like you to join in on that right now. It's from current members, including Gene from Madison, who loves WPR. So if you also love WPR right now, you could donate, and your $50 would turn into $100. $100 would turn into $200, and so on and so on. So please take advantage of this now. Double your support for the WPR programs that you listen to at WPR.org, or 888-202-2552.
You know, we always have a lot of fun when Chef Joel stops by. He's done this for quite a while now. He stops by at least once or twice a year to talk with us about preparing wild game. He always has some great tips. We even he's given us some recipes that we'll be posting, and I'll talk about that in a bit, too, that you'll be able to take advantage of. And I think it's an example of the kind of unique nature of Wisconsin Public Radio. We try in this program to provide you with information you can use on a day-to-day basis. And we're listener-supported, and that means when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you make this hour and so many other hours possible. So choose an amount and make your gift.
Make your gift right now, and make a gift that works for you. You know, for you, that could be a gift of $100 or $200 a month.
It could indeed, and maybe that's what you pay for cable or your favorite or your family phone plan. Listening to WPR is something you do every day, so put a value on it, like the other things that are important to you, at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
At 6 o'clock, as soon as my husband gets out of bed, I turn on the radio in the room, and it's on the whole day. I decided to become a sustaining member because it's so convenient. I've been a contributor to public radio probably for close to 20 years. It's just a very convenient way for the money to come out of your checking account on a monthly basis. My name is Nancy, and I'm from Sheldon, Wisconsin, and I enjoy being a WPR sustainer, and I think you will too.
It's easy to do. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. Larry Mueller here with Jennifer Dargan. And your support during our year-end member drive makes all the programs you rely on possible. And your gift could be 10 or 20 bucks a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
You might be thinking, gosh, I can't donate enough to make a difference. Well, I'm going to invite you to think again. You can give $10 a month and provide all of these incredible conversations we hear on the Ideas Network that inform and educate us. You can provide it for yourself and our entire community.
And your gift really does make a difference. I give right now at $10 a month or whatever amount that's right for you. Every gift is important at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Every gift is important, and every gift will get matched right now up to $2,300. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR is going to go twice as far.
And I encourage you to make your donation for these programs you love by 3 o'clock today. In fact, I encourage you to do it right now. You're going to be entered to win two exciting prizes. You could win $500 to spend at a sporting goods store, and you could win a portable smart speaker. And you don't have to contribute. It's not necessary. You can go to WPR.org/drawing for details on that. But better yet, you're entered to win both prizes when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And sustainers making ongoing monthly gift, of course, you're automatically entered.
Now is such a great time to become a sustaining member. It's easy to set up. It's convenient. And ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card will just kind of come and constantly be supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. You can feel great about it. Get started at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Tyson in Waukesha says something really nice about the show. I'm lucky to be able to listen to the Larry Mueller Show on my work lunch break, and it always gives me great ideas. How about that?
Me too, Tyson. I always learn something on the Larry Mueller Show. Your gift right now is so important at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you.
Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Chef Joel Olson. He's a nationally recognized culinary instructor, works with people of all ages, and he has 20 years of teaching experience, teaching folks how to cook properly. And we're talking with him today about cooking wild game. Join in with your questions. Or maybe you've got an experience to share about preparing wild game. I'd love to hear from you. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us, email address ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. John emailed us with a question. We were talking about neck meat venison earlier and how good it is. He's wondering, what's the best way to cook neck meat venison?
To stew it or braise it. I took the whole, if you have a big enough pot, take the whole neck, which usually you have the whole neck, and put it right in a pot with whatever seasonings and flavorings you want, starting with onions, garlic, you know, just the basics, carrot, celery, if you want to go that direction, or you can go Middle Eastern, or you could do Asian, you could do all sorts of things, and just simmer it. Bring it to a boil and simmer it until it's basically pulling off the bone. It's really simple to cook. Moisture, cook it in liquid. And then depending upon and if you do skims, if there's some of the foam that Larry, you were talking about earlier on top, if you skim that foam off the top when you first bring it to a boil, you could actually reduce that liquid, that cooking liquid, and turn it into a gravy or a sauce, and it wouldn't be quite as bitter. It'd be nice and flavorful.
Yeah, it's very good, very, very good tasting. A listener, another listener called but couldn't stay with us. Their family's been processing their own venison for years and years, and they're not professional chefs, but they still produce some pretty tasty food. They cook the venison in a cast iron skillet with butter, and then they eat it straight out of the pan with a beer.
You know, simple stuff. That's good stuff. It really is. There's nothing there. That is the epitome of simplicity, and oftentimes that's some of the best food that you have.
Absolutely. And Mikey emailed us a good question about venison ribs. He's tried them, and the tallow sticks to his teeth. Any advice for ribs or a rib roll or something of that nature?
Yeah, it's a lot of work to get at the rib meat. That's what I have found that the one or two times that I've done it. I haven't done it since then. So I just think it's just a lot of work for, I mean, if you have a lot of time on your hand and you really, and if it is food and you hate to throw away any food, but I don't have any really great suggestions except to spend a ton of time getting rid of all that silver skin and tallow and make it sure it's pure meat because there's not a lot on the ribs.
Yeah. My dad could do that.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, I can too. It just takes me a couple weeks.
Yeah, he was pretty fast.
Oh, I bet. I bet it's fun to watch.
Oh, it was always fun to watch. Margaret called, but she couldn't stay with us. But she wonders, can you age meat once it's been in the freezer and thawed?
That's tough because you've already broken down the when you freeze something, it expands the cells and it's busting. That's why you get the juice with the meat that when it's thawed, it's hard to do that. So the answer would be yes, you could, but it wouldn't be traditional and it might end up being a little bit tough. Just because you've already lost some of the moisture by freezing it. So I'd be careful. But conceivably, if you had a refrigerator that you didn't open and close a lot, like if you had a garage refrigerator, a beer fridge that somebody wasn't in, you know, constantly during the course of a week or an evening, where the temperature stayed pretty regular, you could age it a little bit more. And it wouldn't hurt it as long as it's drying out a little bit. I wouldn't cover it. I would just sit it on a rack, on a platter or a container. And just watch it. Just let it go.
Somebody else is wondering about jerky. Do you ever make your own jerky?
I used to, and I haven't done that for a long time. I just prefer the meat as opposed to the jerky. Jerky is such a wonderful thing to do. And I know people make such wonderful jerky, and I have some friends that give me some jerky, so I haven't had to make my own. So I'm lucky, but I just remember the drying process in the oven for 200 degrees for hours and hours and hours, and the aroma becoming a smell. At first, it's like, oh, it's nice. Then it's like, okay, is this ever going to get done? So it's a great thing to do with some of the tougher cuts and depending on how much you want to do.
I've got a food dryer that's, stacks about 10.
Yep.
And that works. That can work pretty well.
Yep. If you have a food dryer, for sure.
And I use hamburger sometimes.
Exactly. Using ground meat, it really makes a difference because then you don't end up with those long, chewy pieces that you can't break off and tender. Yeah.
I've always used hamburger. Well, I didn't at first, but then I tried hamburger, and oh, my goodness, this is great.
And you have one of the presses, too, that squirts it out. Yeah. The nice, perfect little strips, and yeah.
It works wonderfully.
You bet.
You've made some, you mentioned venison larb.
Right.
As something that you served at your party, and also you've provided us with that recipe that we have up on our page today on the Larry Mueller Show page. Tell us, what's venison larb?
It's a ground venison or ground, beef or ground chicken, turkey, whatever you have, whatever you want to put in it. I've done it with elk as well. With Asian spices. It's a Thai dish. It's got lime and some little sugar, some fish sauce or soy sauce. It's usually served in little lettuce cups. Or today I brought in some crispy wontons, where I take a round wonton and just fry it till it's golden brown to use as kind of a cracker or kind of a chip to have it with. But it's just a highly seasoned, wonderful, and there's so many different types of, if you Google larb, there's so many different variations of it. But lime juice, usually some fish sauce, and then there's a toasted rice powder that you actually take rice and toasted. I toasted mine in a cast iron pan until it got golden brown, and then I put it through a food spice grinder and add that gives a nice little depth of flavor, but it's just a nice it's a nice dish.
Well, I'm looking forward to trying it for sure, Joel, and it's again, it's something that we have on our ideas at WPR.org/Larry. If you go there, there's the recipe for venison larb. And also this carpaccio, old-fashioned.
Yeah, that's good stuff. I've done that, yeah. It's really thinly sliced venison, or I've done it with beef for different dinners back when I was doing wine dinners and bourbon dinners at Smokey's Club here in Madison. That was one of the menus that went on the menu a couple of times where I did dinners, but thinly sliced, drizzled with a little bit of a good bourbon. I like using a high proof bourbon because most of the alcohol will evaporate anyway, and you get this really essence of a good, so don't use the cheapest stuff, use a decent one, and you're not drowning it with bourbon. You're just drizzling it with a little bit of bourbon, and then some drops of bitters and some orange zest, and you've got the components of an old fashioned, but on really thinly sliced pieces of venison.
You know, just a smidgen is usually better. I still get teased about some bourbon baked beans that I made, and we were on a trip, vacation, and I slopped in too much bourbon in with the beans.
Turned it into a cocktail.
It was awful. So I learned, and I keep getting reminded of it by my friends about those bourbon baked beans.
Sure.
And I won't do that again. What I will do again, though, is talk to Jennifer Dargan, because she's back with us during our drive here. And why do we have a drive? Well, your support keeps these conversations going strong, and your gift right now makes a big difference both this year and as we head into 2023. So make a contribution right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I don't know. Bourbon baked bean cocktail could be on to something. I think we need more research.
I think you're right.
Yeah. Meanwhile, we have a dollar for dollar match still in effect, still room for you to get in. We have $1,200 left, and it's such a great time to donate. We want to thank Gene from Madison, who was one of the current members, who is doubling every dollar that is given this hour. And we hope you're inspired to support Wisconsin Public Radio and to double the impact of your gift. Do it right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I always have a lot of fun talking with Chef Joel Olson on the show. And I think it's an example of the kind of programs that we do here where we, during this hour and a half, we try to talk about topics that you can use in your daily living. Here we are talking about wild game. Well, what were there? I forget how many, 203,000 deer shot this last week alone. So there's a lot of venison out there, and a lot of people are scratching their heads a little bit thinking of how can I do it differently? How can I prepare it? Well, we're here to help you with that today. Other days we do other things, but we are always listener supported. And that means when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you make this hour. You make the many more hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Take a couple of minutes and make your gift.
When you contribute by 3 p.m., you're going to be entered into two exciting drawings, and you could win a $500 gift card to spend at a sporting goods store, or you could win a portable smart speaker.
And if I won, and I can't because I work here, I would, what would I purchase? Hmm. I would probably, I might go with some new snowshoes because the ones I have, I've had a long, long time, and the straps aren't working quite right. So maybe I'd do that. Mm-hmm. But I could also bring that smart speaker if I could win that camping. That'd be kind of a fun thing to do. It's, you know, it's fun to daydream about the options.
Absolutely. You cannot win this if you don't enter, so make your contribution right now and secure your chances to win any and all of the prizes. And gosh, we only have a couple minutes left, Larry, of that challenge, so you could be entered into these contests. You could double your donation to Wisconsin Public Radio, all at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Kathy Ross, and I live in Whitewater. WPR basically accounts for so much of what I know about Wisconsin. Politics, geography, people, interesting places to go. Subscribing to the daily email is a routine part of my life. I know before I go to bed at night, I'm going to look at that email and see things I really need to try and focus on. And then I've recently gotten to the podcast world, and it is wonderful to be able to, oops, I missed that, and now I can find it out here, and it's great.
Make your contribution today, because listener support makes Wisconsin Public Radio possible. Give now at WPR.org and click Donate.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation during our year-end member drive. Larry Mealer with Jennifer Dargan. And the programs you enjoy are possible thanks to your support. Your contribution makes a big difference, whether it be $10 a month or $100 a month, whatever amount you choose.
Yeah, and this dollar-for-dollar effect, this dollar-for-dollar match is still in effect, but it's expiring in the next couple of minutes. So if you want to get your donation doubled, please do it now. You could turn your $50 into $100. Please take advantage of this match. Double your support for WPR right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We are going to take a quick break for the news, but after the news, Chef Joel Olson will still be with us, and we hope that you'll call in with your questions or maybe your own experiences with cooking wild game. Love to have you do that. In the meantime, make your contribution at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mealer here with my guest, Chef Joel Olson, nationally recognized culinary instructor, works with people of all ages, 20 years of teaching experience, and we are talking with him today about preparing wild game. And I hope you'll join in. What experiences have you had? What questions do you have about cooking wild game? Number to call, 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. And Chef Joel brought along some venison larb for us to try here, and I tried it during the news break. It is fantastic!
It's great.
It is really good. And just remind people of kind of what basically goes into a larb.
What went into this is pretty much stuff you can buy off the store shelf, or you might even have it on your pantry shelf. It's a pound of ground venison with some garlic powder and onion powder, or you could use onion flakes. There's a little bit of soy sauce, or you could use fish sauce if you wanted to. I had a little bit of lemongrass, dried lemongrass powder, because I happen to have some from Penzi's, but you could omit that. You don't need to have that in there. Mm-hmm. And the key is one of the key ingredients is the toasted rice powder, where you actually cook some rice in a dry pan until it's brown, and then puree it mince
it up
in a spice grinder, and add that. It gives a really wonderful texture and some body to it, and then lime juice and a little bit of sugar.
Well, the flavor is absolutely fantastic, and you gave it to me on kind of a cracker.
Yeah, it's like a round wonton, just a package of wontons that I opened up and fried in a little bit of oil till it was golden brown. It makes like a chip, like a wonton chip.
It is delicious. And I will mention again that Chef Joel has given us some recipes, a few recipes to include on our page today. So ideas@wpr.org/Larry. Go to today's date. And I think Clara's already put up the recipes. They're already posted. And venison larb is one of those. And you're going to want to try it. And the old-fashioned, the carpaccio recipe, along with some homemade soda crackers and some pan-seared venison medallions with bourbon demi-glace. All those are up. And I should mention that I decided to do another blog, and because we were going to be here today on the show talking, I have a recipe that I've used forever for a venison stroganoff.
Oh, yes. You mentioned that before.
Yeah, and I love that recipe, and I have never had anybody say, well, I don't like this. I mean, they all love it, and it's something that you can serve a lot of people.
Sure.
I think Scott Craven and I used my recipe for a time when we had about 150 people.
Wow.
We made a stroganoff for 150 people, and it went over very, very well. And I have that up on my blog. So, again, if you go to ideas at WPR.org/Larry, the venison stroganoff is in the blog. I think it's up. If it's not, it'll be up probably later today at the latest. But what I really like about it is easy.
Yeah, that's good.
Very easy to make. Jed in La Couturier, we'll give you a chance to join in. Hi.
Hello.
Hi, what's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to talk about wild mushrooms and wild game and just some common sense logic that if there's an animal in the wild that eats a certain mushroom, traditionally they play well together. I think of wild turkeys, wild boar, venison. Kind of the same logic like in the garden. If certain things grow together well, they traditionally play together well in the kitchen. So...
Yeah. I think Jed's right.
Yeah, absolutely. It makes sense.
Mushrooms, in fact, in the stroganoff recipe, of course, there are.
Sure.
There's a pound of mushrooms that goes into, or roughly a pound of mushrooms that go into that particular recipe. But I think he's right. Pairing things. You're pretty much an experimenter. You're willing to try pretty much anything, but how do you know what pairs well?
Well, it's hard to give a definitive answer the answer to that question is I've been doing so much cooking through the years and tried so many different things. When I read a recipe now, I can actually taste it while I'm reading it. It's like people read music and you can hear it. I can read a recipe and I can taste what it's going to, and I can also tell by looking at somebody else's directions if it's going to work or not and how I would do it differently. So I just kind of know inherently now what kind of goes together because of all the different classes that I've taught and all the different programs that I've run and the blogs that I've written as well. So it's just a matter of experience. It's hard to kind of sum that up into a, like, here's how you do it.
Yeah, and maybe talk about your online presence and what you've got, because you've got quite a bit.
Yeah, we have hemachef.com, hemachef, which is H-E-M-M-A-C-H-E-F. It means home chef in Swedish. I have a degree in sociology, but I took a year of Norwegian and then 2 years of Swedish, and Swedish was easier than Norwegian. And so I just, like any good Norwegian, I stole their spelling, because a Norwegian would be H-J-E-M-M-A, and nobody would know how to pronounce that. So we have hemachef.com. I write occasional blogs. I do a lot of classes coming up. Got some kids' camps during the winter break, during between Christmas and New Year's, and plus have a bunch of knife skills for adults and kids, and just a whole variety of classes that I teach in the Madison area. Plus, I'm willing to travel. If anybody's interested in doing a wild game dinner and they have wild game and want me to come up and cook with them, and be happy to do it.
And you mentioned knives.
Right.
Clara had a question about that in terms of what are the best knives or what are the utensils that you – I mean, what do you use?
I use an 8-inch chef's knife is my number one tool in the kitchen, and it happens to be a Huffritz, which is a German brand given to me by my Aunt Signe back when I first started culinary school back a long, long time ago. And I have to – we should really amend. I've been teaching for 26 years now.
26? Oh,
yeah, it's
my
been a
gosh.
While. Yeah, so – and I'm feeling it.
It's not easy. I've taught, actually, with Scott Craven and I taught some wild game cooking classes. And it's not easy.
I love it, though. There's nothing I would... I can't imagine retiring. As long as there's people willing to listen to me talk about food and cook with me, I'm totally... I just can't imagine not doing this. It's so much fun. It really is.
Have you ever had a really bad experience?
No, I haven't. I have not. It's just... preparation. It's just all the, maybe you forget a key ingredient or something that I never do. If it makes it on my list, I have it with. But if it didn't make it on the list, then, well, I don't have it.
John emailed, well, he wants just to, I think you mentioned this, but he wants to know how to cut up pieces of neck meat venison before you cook it because the neck is too large to get into any of his cooking containers.
You could wiggle, because the vertebrae kind of intertwine. The thing about wild game, too, if you've ever noticed the difference between a domestic animal and a wild animal, is the joints really interconnect so that they can fly and they can bounce and they can jump, as opposed to a domesticated animal. So it's oftentimes hard to get in between those vertebrae or whatever, or vertebra. So it's a matter of just working a knife through it and trying to. You can do it, but just have to kind of wiggle and poke and kind of to separate the tendons to get it apart. But as far as I wouldn't, because I want the bone in there when I'm cooking the meat.
Yeah,
that's what's going to help give it a lot of flavor. So you could just try to trim as much off as you could, but I think that'd be kind of a waste of time.
Yeah, it would indeed. Another listener emailed us. They say that chicken fried steak made of pounded up sliced roast is incredible. So uses the roast, she slices up the roast and chicken fries them.
Sure. It's basically like a schnitzel, just a big schnitzel.
Yeah, I guess that makes a lot of sense. And also the listener uses Gordon Ramsay's Wellington recipe for a whole loin. It's a lot of work, but it's a very special dinner.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I like that. I like that as well. I want to go back to the pan. I had a couple more questions. One was relating to those pan-seared venison medallions with the bourbon demi-glace. And, of course, we talked a bit about bourbon. But you tell us about that.
It's a real the folks that emailed in about the having the venison and the butter just out of the pan. It's really kind of similar to that. Basically, you're just searing the venison pieces. The medallion is just a thin steak, basically a tiny, a couple bite sized steak, and then making it's a reduction sauce. And demi-glace classically is a reduced veal stock, so it's got incredible body, incredible flavor. But you could use a chicken stock, and it'd have to be to make this truly as good as it should be. You need to use what now people are calling bone broth, which I think is hilarious. It's just stock, but good for them. They're marketing it, but it's so that you have the gelatin from the bones in the stock, and by constant demi-glace means half, so you reduce it by half, so it's concentrating all those flavors so that when you bite into that sauce, it's kind of just lip smacking, kind of lipstick together. It's so wonderfully thick and rich, and it's just a luxurious sauce is what it is. So it's not as fancy as it sounds, but it just takes a little time. And how you know you reduce something is like, well, look how much you have when you start. And when there's not as much there, you've reduced it.
There you go. I was thinking about, I saw one of your recipes, and you have bluegill from your game feed, but you also had walleye. You have a baked walleye with tomato cream. But I want to mention that during the deer season, that was because we're always in Bayfield County, and the lakes usually freeze by around deer hunting time. Mm-hmm. And if the deer hunting is a bit slow, or even if it isn't, some of the guys in our camp spend their time after the open weekend,
really?
Walleye fishing.
Awesome.
And through the ice.
Gee, that's great.
Oh, and there is nothing like, I mean, catch that walleye through the ice.
Yep.
It's immediately on the ice.
Yep. And, can't get much fresher than that.
And then maybe 5 hours later, you're eating it.
That's wonderful. Oh, my gosh, yep.
I just love that part of deer hunting, as a matter of fact. But this recipe that you have and we are usually just frying it up and in a little butter, but you've got a tomato cream, a baked walleye with tomato cream.
So
tell me about it.
Put it in a shallow baking dish or a Pyrex dish. I did a little bit of onion on the bottom of it with some butter, and then raw onion, thinly sliced raw onion, and then put the walleye on top of that, and then thinly sliced tomatoes from our garden. We still had some wonderful garden tomatoes then. Mm-hmm. And then splash cream over the top of it, and then salt and pepper, and then just baked it in the oven. It's so simple, but it's insane.
And you wouldn't be cooking that very long either.
Not at all. Nope. No,
a few minutes.
I'd say 5-6 minutes, depending on the size of your fillets, what size the fillets are. And what I recommend, too, is possibly cutting it into portions or pieces so that people know what. Whenever I'm doing these parties, I always offer people a chance to take as little as possible. So give them an idea what a portion is, or here's how you can cut it. Otherwise, you find somebody maybe taking a big old chunk of something, and but even by accident, or just they don't know any better. So it's always best just to be able to give people an idea of what they should be taking at a buffet.
Well, you've been giving us some great ideas about what to do all day, Joel. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And again, your site?
Hemachef.com, HEMMACHEF.com.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Yeah, always a pleasure. Chef Joel Olson, our guest today. And somebody else I know is a pretty good cook is Jennifer Dargan, and she is back. Because this is our year-end member drive, and we're listener-supported, so your gift right now is going to ensure the programs you rely on have a great start in 2023. You make the programs possible as we head into the new year when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Hey, Larry, I think we should just pause for a minute and say thank you to the 21 donors who gave this past hour. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Now, always a new goal.
Now, always a new goal.
Our goal is to get to 15 gifts by 1 o'clock, and we're well on our way. And this goal is set up to make sure that we'll be in a good position to pay for the Larry Mueller Show and Chapter Day and everything else you hear on WPR in the months to come.
So let's meet this goal. It happens one gift at a time, and let's start with yours at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Yep. You might not have a personal trainer or a life coach or a personal wild game chef on speed dial, and that's okay. You don't need it. When you listen to the Ideas Network, you get great advice from all kinds of experts. And you know what? What's the cost to you? Well, you can choose. The Ideas Network is your source for helpful information, so you can choose what amount works for your budget to support the service you love, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you have a chance to win two exciting prizes when you support the programs you love if you contribute before 3 o'clock, and we hope you do it in the next 8 minutes or so.
Mm-hmm.
Make your gift any amount now, and you'll be entered to win both a $500 sporting goods store gift card and a portable smart speaker.
Yeah, you could gear up for a new winter hobby. Have you always wanted to try skiing or snowshoeing, or maybe you get a great speaker to have your audio on the go with your new smart speaker? There's so many fun possibilities to dream up here, and it all starts with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Good luck.
Good luck. You might be a procrastinator, and our year-end member drive is built just for you. As a matter of fact, you've been thinking all year that you love WPR. You listen every day. You love the programming. You should really donate.
And you still can do it. The opportunity is still here. Your time is now, right now. Step up and be counted as a WPR supporter in 2022 when you make your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And maybe you've never given to WPR before because you didn't think you can give enough to make a difference. Well, you can. Mm-hmm. It's gifts of tens of thousands of people combined together that make our programs possible.
We see a lot of first-time donations coming in for $10 a month or $20 a month for their WPR listening, but the beauty of it is you get to decide the amount that works for you and then join this team effort with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
For me, it's really a sense of a connection to the world and the world of ideas. It keeps me informed. It keeps me thinking. I can't remember the number of times that I've had conversations with people saying, oh, I heard something this morning on Wisconsin Public Radio or National Public Radio. And then it's a way of having a very interesting discussion with other people about some of those ideas. And so I think that it keeps me informed and it keeps me thinking and is a way of engaging other people in important ideas. This is David Corey from Green Bay, Wisconsin, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for information in the arts, culture, politics, and the world.
David, Thank you very much. You can give, too, at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Jennifer Dargan, and listener support, of course, is the biggest source of funding for our shows, and that's why your gift of $10 a month or $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, has a really important impact.
And it's such a great thing to do with just a few minutes of your time. If you've never done it before, here's how it works. We just take your name, contact information, you tell us how much you'd like to give and how you'd like to pay. That's it.
Yeah, and your gift supports the stories and the programs that keep you connected to the world. So give now. Why not do it right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Once in a while, you actually get more than you pay for. And WPR is one place where that is true every single day of the year. So consider a gift of maybe $2 a day to support the radio programs that you love.
It's really hard to buy a lot for $2, mm-hmm. but at Wisconsin Public Radio, $2 a day makes a lot of news, talk, and music possible. Of course, that works out to about $60 a month, and you can make that gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Help keep WPR strong as we go into the new year. Maybe you could become a first-time donor, or maybe you're making an extra year-end gift to support the programs you value. Either way, we say thank you so much. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And maybe you've already made a donation this year, or you're a sustaining member. And certainly, thank you so much for that. We really appreciate it. You might consider making an extra gift, maybe $50 or $100, or at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Join in this drive, and thank you for your extra support for the programs you enjoy every day.
We are looking for 5 more people to join in to hit our goal. You make WPR possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And don't forget that added bonus for supporting these programs. Your donation before 3 p.m. today enters you to win 2 prizes. You could win $500 to spend at a sporting goods store, and you could win a portable smart speaker. So enter with your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And, of course, if you're a sustainer, you're automatically entered.
Yes, and if you're not a sustainer, hey, how about becoming one right now and you'll get entered in this one and all the future drawings we have. It's so easy to set up. You're going to make ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and you'll provide reliable support for the programs you love.
Jennifer, how many do we have left here?
We've got 5 more.
5 more?
We're so close.
There's like a couple of minutes before the end of this half-hour slot here. If you haven't given yet, take us over the top here. Get us, be one of the 5, and it's easy to do. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. Aaron in Madison says, my dial is set to WPR in the kitchen. I love this station. Vishnu in Milwaukee says, I want to support your programs on climate change, the environment, and wildlife. We certainly cover that in this show. Your gift, here we are running out of time, but I want to point out, your gift is very powerful. It really makes a difference. If you haven't done it yet, do it right now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Thank you so much if you've already given. If you haven't, do it right now for Jennifer, for me, and for all of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Larry Mueller.